check-in on the Serta Counting Sheep.
Why aren't we counting anymore?
Well, the all-new Serta Perfect Sleeper has the Q4 support system that helps relieve aches and back pain.
We'll never get counted again!
Nope.
Save this Memorial Day. Shop at a retailer near you.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day. Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And D, we made it. We made it to the All-Star break. It's both the halfway point of the season and almost exactly two-thirds. For some reason, that makes sense to me. It's the main dividing line during the NBA season. And Lakers make it to the All-Star break with a win over Dallas. LeBron becomes the oldest player in NBA history to notch a triple-double. And that's where I want to start. Is over the last week, there have been two things that have raised my level of optimism a little bit. One was the addition of Kennard and just sort of how he's looked, and that continued in last night's game. I think he's a really valuable weapon for this team. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But the biggest one was LeBron last night and how he looked athletically. Playing a bad Dallas team that was on a prolonged losing streak, it's not about the result of the game. It was about how he moved, how sustainably throughout 48 minutes, which to me is the biggest question that I have about LeBron at this point. We've seen his turnups can be very effective, and he's still a monster of a player when he does. It's just more of a question of how often can he do that. And I know it can't be for 48 minutes over the course of 82, but over the course of the playoffs, you have to be able to consistently, game after game, bring it for a whole game. And I thought last night's game was one of the best efforts from LeBron, from an athletic and just looking spry and competing possession after possession after possession, that I think there's a certain amount of, I'm about to have a few days off so I can empty the tank a little bit. But we've seen him do this a few times over the years, even going into like the last game of the season. I remember a few years back, we were playing Sacramento in the last game of the season, or somebody that was bad and tanking and had nothing to play for. And LeBron came out at the beginning of that game rather than, oh, we're playing a tanking team that's bad, like full playoff mode, because he's trying to rev himself up for the playoffs. And he had like 15-8-6 in the first quarter, basically. And so LeBron looking the way that he did, much more of that combined with a little bit of Kennard being like, hey, this guy's really going to help us. I don't know. I'm in a good place going into the All-Star break. What are your thoughts on the game and just kind of where the team's at?
So I agree. This last game before the All-Star break can be a tricky one for a team, particularly if they're playing a lesser opponent. Everyone's thinking about their vacation or... sorry, that's too strong. I feel like that often discredits players in general and their focus. But I would say it's easier to be looking forward towards your upcoming time off versus locking in 100% on the task at hand in that moment.
You ever been at work at like 4:50 p.m.
Yes,
ahead of a three-day weekend on a Friday? Is that your best 10 minutes of work of the day?
The last half an hour of any workday could be the worst part of your workday. It's funny to me when you were talking right now about LeBron's turnups, and the thing that came to mind, and this is something that I'd love to get your thoughts on too, is LeBron is very purposeful in how he talks. He's purposeful in sort of setting an example when he feels like he needs to set an example. This goes back to him being a leader probably all the way back to when he was 11 or 12 years old and played organized basketball. And as he said post-game, I've never been bad at basketball. It's like, once I started playing, I was always LeBron James, basically. The last sort of comments that we got from LeBron before this game, you were talking about, is LeBron speaking French? Because one of the things LeBron said was, we're not a contending team. We don't put it together for 48 minutes often enough or at all, basically. Like, we don't show that capability. And we were laughing offline a little bit at the irony of LeBron sort of saying this, not because it's wrong, but because that we is doing a lot of lifting, which is, are we speaking French here? Because yes, buddy, you're not wrong, but he's a part of that. And I'm not even pointing the finger at him.
No, we all understand why, right? It's obvious. Yes. Like, what he's doing is unprecedented. And what he needs to do to get through the season is obvious. And even before the game, he's talking to Nash about, like, we want to get to the playoffs healthy. We want to avoid the play-in, get to the playoffs healthy. Those are the top two by far goals of LeBron, which sometimes doesn't lead to the best regular season basketball.
But my point about his last comments before this game, and then him sort of coming out and being like, yeah, guess what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to play maybe my most complete game of the season from an effort standpoint, and particularly pointed in a game where the other team isn't very good, where I could actually coast through this game.
Totally.
And feel like, oh, I'll turn up eventually and turn it on and we'll win. Instead, the like, oh, I'm going to let the game come to me and I'm going to feel the game out and I'm going to see what the other team has. Classic sort of LeBron tempo and pacing. There is none of that, man. LeBron was heat checking in the first quarter. He was like, I'm on one this game. And it was very much in the spirit of how Luka plays to start games, which is boot on your neck. Are you going to stop me or are you not? And if you're not going to stop me, here comes a string of buckets, one after the other. Transition, three, post up, transition, three. Oh, shit, LeBron's got 14 points.
That's right.
Or whatever. And a half a dozen assists. And what's he played? 8 minutes? What's going on here? But I just wanted to say that the big picture of leadership and setting the tone and understanding what your job is on a day-to-day basis. We've been gifted throughout Lakers history to see plenty of guys who knows exactly what that is and what that means. And this game was a bit of a reminder to me. Was it perfect? Did he let his foot off the gas at certain points? Maybe. But I thought he was our most consistent performer over the course of the entire game from a I understand what needs to be done tonight in order for us to win this game. And the end of the second quarter was not that great. The very start of the third quarter was a little bit like, okay, are they going to pick it up here? But then they picked it up after a few minutes of the third quarter, and then they won by 20, basically. And that's exactly what you would want. And I thought LeBron was the driver of so much of that, Pete.
Very much so. And it was just so great to see him, just how he was moving, how he was beating guys off the dribble. He had Daniel Gafford flummoxed a bit in that second half, and just being able to have some of that element of his game. That's one thing that stood out about the early part of this season has been just how laborious a lot of things that used to look easy for LeBron was, especially beating guys off of the dribble and just sort of dribbling the basketball. Even his jumper, right? He's been at 31% as a three-point shooter. And I've argued, and Jovan the other day brought up a good point to add defensive rebounding into this bucket as well, but that two areas that they need at least one of these areas to get better from LeBron is his three-point shooting or his dribbling. Just don't cough it up when you're trying to attack off of the dribble. That one of those two areas needed to improve for us to really take a step. And Jovan added the defensive rebounding. I would say that just a more consistently athletic LeBron, if he has it in him, improves all three of those areas, right? Like, you don't think about dribbling the basketball as being an athletic activity or shooting a jump shot as being an athletic activity, but there is a pop and a verve to when he steps into his jumper, when he's got it going physically, in a way it gets better elevation on it. It's just a smoother shot that I think all of these things are tied together. Let's go to an early break here, come back and keep it going.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, and it could be that he did turn up in the final game before he gets a week off or whatever. But he could have just as easily coasted this game. And I agree with you that a more consistently athletic version of LeBron is going to be something not only that helps the team, I actually think it's one of the key elements for this team being successful in the bigger picture and in the playoff push. The Lakers are a skill team, but they're also a power team. And there's no player who can be as skillful and as powerful as LeBron. Luka can top him in a skill standpoint. Maybe even Austin can too on certain nights. And Luka's a big body and Austin's a big guard, and they both have power or athletic elements to their game. Austin more speed, and Luka more just strength and being able to leverage his size in general. But LeBron can still be a guy that plays above the rim. He can still be a guy that is a monster in transition. And he can still be a guy that can turn it up from a speed standpoint, both in transition, but even in the half court, the way that he did with Gafford. Yeah, I'm getting to the basket and I'm either drawing fouls or I'm finishing. Gafford got a goaltend on a play. LeBron drew an and one on another with a nice flip shot going to his right where he was really fading and falling down. Those are the sorts of plays where there's no other player on the roster that really plays exactly like that. It's an element of Austin and an element of Luka, but with an above the rim profile that really no one else has, like Hayes. And the Lakers need front court athleticism and production as an important part of how they're going to be able to hang with some of the better teams in the league, Pete.
That front court production from the post, from triple threat position, while also being a perimeter player as well. Like, if we're just Luka and Austin as an attack, it's a very guard-based type of attack. Kind of where you're seeing the Lakers attack come from is in front of you on the perimeter. That LeBron adds a different dimension. How he does it is different than how Luka and Austin do. Like you said, there are elements of both kind of combined with this, you know, maybe the greatest athlete to ever play the sport in his waning years, of course, but still he's got that in him, that it's just like how he does it is different enough that it adds a whole different dimension. And this is core to an argument you've made for a long time, is like different looks from a team can be lineups, right? But it can also be like, how do we go about trying to break down your defense? Or how do we go about defending that LeBron can impact in ways that no other player can on the roster?
This is one of the points that JJ was making in the aftermath of the loss to Oklahoma City. He was arguing that we faded late, and one of the reasons why was because we stopped playing through LeBron, and LeBron was getting advantageous positions in the post against smaller players, and we just went away from that. And granted, Luka didn't play that game, but I think Luka, even within the context of the OKC matchup, that's another place where he's going to need to adjust his attack angles and work more from the post and not be so much a let's start a possession 40 feet away from the basket and try to get all the way to the rim against a defense that's great at all three levels of defense. Even if OKC wants to concede a mid-range jumper to you, the guy who's going to be contesting you might be back pressure from Lou Dort or Jalen Williams, or it's like right in your face, it's Isaiah Hartenstein or Chet Holmgren stepping up from the restricted area to contest your shot. This is hard. And the way that you can challenge that is by, no, I'm going to actually stand 12 feet away from the basket. You're going to throw me the ball. And what does your defense do there? And if we've done some work before that, and the player who's defending me, I'm 5 or 6 inches taller than him and outweigh him by 50 pounds, I'm going to gain advantage in that. And even a player like Jalen Williams, again, we talked about this the other night, LeBron just shrugged him off on a play and drove right by him and got a lefty layup out of the post from a triple threat position. The ability of LeBron, and you said this a couple of pods ago, like the optimist take for the Lakers, it's just like, we get it, man. LeBron's old. And the idea that he's going to hold up or be able to do something for four rounds, I get the skepticism around that. I really do. But last year, he got hurt a month before the playoffs ended, and then he came back right before, and he was not the same player that he was before that. He just wasn't.
Nope.
And if the goal is to get LeBron and Luka and Austin to the postseason healthy, I would argue that it's important for all three of them, but the athleticism and the pop that LeBron can bring is just an element that Luka and Austin don't provide in the same exact way.
Absolutely. And even with the diminished LeBron athletically last season, game three is such a what if for me, because LeBron, I think, had like 38 in that game, if I remember correctly. He was great in that game, but that happened to be the game, series tied at one, first game back in Minnesota. This is a big swing game in a playoff series, but Luka was sick as a dog and just a shell of himself. And so we lose a close game in that one where it's like, even with all that working against LeBron, the adductor and all of that, that he had tweaked. Literally, even in the last game, we played Houston the game before the final game last year, and he played in that game, but he checked out in like the first or second quarter because he felt a twinge in his adductor after coming back from the injury he initially suffered against Boston, right? And so that was the last time we saw him during the regular season. And that story is still yet to be written in the final third of the year if LeBron can stay healthy. But even with an athletically diminished Bron, he was in the biggest game of that series, or a swing game, like putting up real superstar type of production.
And it's going to take more than LeBron, obviously, for the Lakers to have postseason success. But I thought this game, and who knows what was on Dallas's minds or whatever, but I would argue that there's PJ Washington, who's a good matchup, actually, for LeBron. Here's Daniel Gafford. They were switching a lot of these actions. And when the Lakers were trying to run actions to get a small guard on LeBron, Dallas was fighting to not switch those. They were trying to put Brandon Williams in the action. He was, get me out of here, man. And no, I'm fighting through. I'm getting above this. You try to switch me, I'm not doing it. I'd much rather guard Marcus Smart and then help. So I thought Dallas put up the appropriate amount of resistance, and LeBron was just better than them on most possessions. And so I'm happy to go into the break with a win. I'm happy that they are positioned the way that they are. I'm very interested to see what the All-Star weekend bears in terms of, like, how much does LeBron actually play? Does Luka play? We haven't gotten any announcement that he wouldn't play, but I'm going to be honest, like, I would find it weird if he played in the All-Star game after not playing a single game for the Lakers before that. It still could be, and he could just take it easy and mess around a little bit, whatever. But I would find it a little bit weird. I'm not sure where your mind is on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it. Yeah, no, I'm good on that. I wouldn't be a fan of that either.
No announcement yet. It's in LA. If he's not going to play, they should probably announce soon so that they could find a replacement for him, especially with the format of this. This isn't two teams of 12 and like, oh, this one guy doesn't play the way that LeBron didn't last year. And it was very last minute and he ended up just sitting out. For the world team, there's only eight guys or nine guys, I guess, or whatever. And so if he doesn't play, it's actually a bit more of a hindrance than it would be for like normally stocked teams. So if he's not going to play, they should announce that today or something. But overall, I'm happy with where the team is. And we'll talk way more about this next week, but I think that they are positioning themselves and setting themselves up to push for something in this last stretch of the season. And LeBron said it in that pregame conversation with Nash that they ran. It's a marathon of a season. We've been trying to manage this the best way that we can, but it's about to turn into a sprint. And we got to be ready for that. So let's take our second break here, Pete. And when we come back, we'll go around the league a little bit and talk about everything a little bit more.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. It calls to us. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives richer, calmer, and frankly, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby or trails worth traveling to and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Whether you're looking for a laid-back walk with family or something more adventurous to get your heart pumping, All Trails gives you the tools you need to get out there and find your outside. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds here, Pete. Like, I'm going to change the subject really quickly to the All-Star game since I brought it up earlier. The All-Star game and All-Star weekend used to be one of my favorite weekends of the NBA season. It was something that I always looked forward to. The dunk contest, the three-point contest, the actual game itself. Historically, it's just meant something to me, and it's something that I look forward to. I got fed a clip of Kobe talking about the All-Star game and him saying that, you know, what fans really want is they want to see the best pickup game in the world. They want to see like the best players come together and like almost like they got a ticket into the gym and all these guys are suiting up and getting to go out there and play. And he's like, you know, it doesn't got to be, oh, game 7 of the finals level energy or whatever. Like, I'm now off of Kobe's quotes directly. It doesn't have to be that competitive, but it does need to be competitive. And I just feel like the luster is sort of gone for me. And I'm wondering, like, if you feel the same way. Like, I used to look forward to this, and now I'm just like, oh, it's All-Star this weekend. Okay, I guess.
That's how I feel too. I feel like the competitiveness of the league has dropped fairly significantly over the last 10 years or so. This is a big part of what underlies my argument about too many teams making the playoffs, is that every individual game doesn't matter that much. And so there's all sorts of incentive to sit guys if they're a little bit banged up. It's all this broader conversation between tanking and guys sitting over the course of the regular season. All-Star. We can also romanticize the past in that the idea that All-Star Game hasn't always kind of been pretty loose and that there weren't even games from 20 years ago that was like, that sucked. That was like, because there's a difference between a pickup game and like the pickup game where y'all have been playing for 3 hours and like, yes, only three people are getting back on defense and everybody else is cherry picking. And it's just this bullcrap type of half basketball game that isn't really fun to watch at all. Like, there has to be a level of competitiveness in it. And they've tried a bunch of different measures. They're going to do the U.S. versus the world this time. They did the thing with the Elam endings, which I like, right? Where you play to a score rather than a time. They've broken it up into multiple teams. So you're going to have multiple teams competing against each other. They've certainly tried. But one of my rules in life, D, is that you can't make somebody else care, yeah, if they don't. And so, yeah, I'm in a similar spot, but it's not just the All-Star game for me, D. It's kind of across the board. It's like we're kind of waiting for the playoffs to start for the real competitive stuff to begin.
Yeah, the regular season has lost its luster in like an aggregate sense. I would say this. Every night of the NBA, there's to great basketball being played and there's great competitive basketball being played. It's just not in every game and it's not as consistent.
It's not with all the players either. We're not going to have a single guy play 65 games amongst our stars, and we're hardly, yeah, the only one. From night to night, you've got all these primetime games where it's no Luka, no Steph, no whatever star that there is.
I was laughing because when the Lakers played the Spurs, the NBA put out their little tweet, right? And it was like, Victor Wembanyama going to visit Rui Hachimura. and someone... There was like a Lakers person. It's like, oh yeah, visiting Rui, huh? It's just like, uh-huh. But because everyone was out. Anyways, the All-Star game and to your point, like the regular season and the competitiveness, I agree with you. I don't want to just romanticize the past and make it seem like everything was, oh, fantastic. And you can't make players care. It was just 5 years ago, though, in the aftermath of Kobe passing when they played the All-Star game. And everyone, all of the players took it upon themselves to be like, as a tribute to this dude who cared about this day and this game, we're going to give it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the better games that
we got. Oh, that was a super fun game.
Mm-hmm. In like the last 15 years, in the last maybe even longer than that. Was
the one Bron ended on the fadeaway or was it AD's free throw?
It was the one with AD's free throws, and right. AD like ducked in on a post up, uh-huh, but everyone was like fighting their asses off. They really go at it. And that also, too, was a game where it showed who the actual best players in the world were, because both coaches cared. All of the players cared. All of the guys that were on the bench were sort of standing up and into it. It reminded me very much of what we got in the Olympics. That element used to happen a lot in like the close All-Star games. Again, I don't want to romanticize things because there were plenty of All-Star games that were blowouts. But that All-Star game in the aftermath of Kobe passing, it just reminded me of what things like can be in these environments. And the All-Star game since then, it just hasn't been as good. I know Jackson Hayes is in the dunk contest and he's a Laker and I hope he does well. But the fall of the dunk contest as well, where it's just like it's random dudes on teams. Like the guy who's won the last 3 years is basically a G League player. Even the 3-point contest, Dame is in the 3-point contest, Pete. Dame. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played a second. He's recovering from an Achilles injury. The luster of the weekend is just like not there for me this time. And again, like I feel like the old guy bitching about something, but
sure.
Nostalgia is calling me for something more than what we're getting this weekend. And so I just kind of wanted to, I guess, vent a little bit to you right now.
I totally understand. Sometimes what's old is new, though, in that, remember after Kobe won the dunk contest, people thought it was so lame, they didn't even have a dunk contest for a few years.
Yeah.
Remember they suspended it for several seasons.
Yeah, and then they did the wheel and they were all, uh-huh, trying to figure out ideas to like make it awesome again. It's interesting. We're 10 years from the anniversary of the Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine duel.
God, that's been 10 years.
10 years already, right? Talk about feeling old. And so all those clips have been on social media in the last day or day and a half. And I'm just like, this is what I want. Like, I want this for the dunk contest. I want it for the game on Sunday. Like, I just want that feeling of there's juice in this. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. I just think that they've been trying to solve this for a long time now, that they'd have to just take some certain measures to get it to that point, whether it was financial incentive or whatever it was. You heard Nick Wright's idea, the white players versus the black players.
I was cracking up.
But that's the thing, is that it's what I want. It's what you want. It's what a lot of fans want. It's what even several of the players want, right? Wemby talks a lot about, I really want to make everybody compete. I just couldn't tell you. I don't have the magic elixir for how to get there and how to get those moments again.
Yeah. And so anyways, welcome to like the couch with Pete and Darius as I
were the two,
complain.
Remember the Muppets, the two old guys? And the, yes. That's yeah. You and me increasingly over the years just talking shit.
Oh, yeah. Man. I'm gray enough already, right? Thankfully, I have a full head and a pair. So I'll be intrigued. I'll still watch, of course, and I want to see what happens. I still don't understand the format, really. Like, it's a single game, but there's three teams, and
it speaks to the level of, like, we're trying whatever we can, and so we've ended up in this kind of convoluted place that all stems from sort of, like, they don't seem to care that much about this game. How do we fix it?
Yes, and Jamal Murray, I think, wants to join Wemby in the idea of, I'm trying to win, or I want to go out there and like play hard and have it be meaningful. And so we will see. I did appreciate the fact that they put like all the old guys on like one team. It was LeBron and Steph and KD all on one team. Steph's not going to play. He's still dealing with his knee stuff. Giannis isn't going to play. We'll see what happens. Well, with Luka, the thing I will add, though, and this sort of bumps up against my other sort of complaints, is that I do think the league is in a great place in terms of young players who care and want to compete. Wemby is at the top of that list, but right there with him is a player like Anthony Edwards. These guys want it. They want to be great. And I do think it is going to take one or two or three of them during a game like this to just say, no, like, I'm not taking a one-legged 35-footer just for fun and doing that possession after possession after possession. No, like, I'm going to attack and I'm going to try to dunk on you and I'm going to try to catch you. And that hopefully will get the juices flowing. I will watch and I won't do it begrudgingly because it's like the game that used to matter to me in like the biggest way, it still matters to me somewhat. And I wouldn't want to be the guy that missed out on something spectacular from one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. And hopefully they can make some progress in finding a format that sort of resolves some of the issues that have been plaguing them. And so, yeah, hearing Wemby and Murray and guys like that, those are the guys that have control over it, right? And so we shall see. We will wrap up here for an early one, be back, have a kind of a week of pods, kind of looking ahead at this sprint that LeBron was talking about coming up next week. But until Monday, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
James has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn, he's double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic, got it. Magic fires, it's good, and the Lakers win the game! The Lakers win the game!
Rebound to Lonnie, 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner, it's on the way, good!
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble And banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.